Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg, screen, Barkley, makes one, miss 20, spins inside to the 15, to the 10, Barkley to the 5, touchdown Penn State, an electrifying touchdown run off the screen pass to Saquon Barkley. Smith back, pressure, steps up, in trouble, down he goes. Carl Nassib back at the 41-yard line.
Third and 10 at the 11, back he goes. Steps up, waits, in the middle, five, touchdown, Godwin takes the snap, back to pass, pressure, hit, and down he goes, the ball's loose, picked up, 35, 40, 50, Johnson down the near sideline, A.J. to the 30, A.J. to the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State, Austin Johnson takes it to the house.
Scott the lone setback. Bunch near side. They pitch it to Scott. Rolls right. Wants to throw. He wants Godwin downfield. Godwin reaches up. Got it at the 15 and down inside the 15 at the 13-yard line.
In other words, they won.
Sounded like it.
It's what we do. Some guys... very nice couple comes into the booth in the second half, maybe around like the end of the third quarter, something like that. And they spend the fourth quarter there. He said, God, you guys have a lot of fun. I said, yeah, no kidding. I said, I admit, this is the candy store jobs. All right. You haven't taken the time yet to look at your memo of the day.
You're not going to find it. I didn't take the time to send it to you.
I was too busy lighting candles for Ben.
I was too busy working.
I was too busy lighting candles for Ben.
Hey, this is why you sign Michael Vick for 4 or 5 games. This is fine. I'm not worried.
2-4, 3-3 at best.
All right. I'm not worried. I'm 4-1 will be fine.
Excuse me. You're going to lay it on your defense? Really?
No. I the only thing that concerns me is a short week.
Flacco's going to shred them. Oh, my
Listen,
goodness.
Listen, the Ravens haven't shredded anyone.
Have you looked at your secondary?
I'm still saying the Ravens haven't shredded anyone.
Have you looked at your secondary?
You know what worries me more than anything else?
Your secondary.
No. In the 4 games potentially Ben will miss, they're at San Diego. That doesn't bother me as much.
6.
You can say 6. I'm going to go with 4. At San Diego.
Do you know what he's hurt?
Last I heard was a strained MCL.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
I'm going to go 4. Ben's tough, and he rehabs well.
6 weeks.
Cardinals.
You've never been around him rehabbing. You have no idea if he rehabs well.
Listen, he's the toughest football player in the NFL, period.
The Cardinals will shut you out.
Yes,
next.
I am concerned about the Cardinals game. Then you have the Chiefs. Not overly worried about that game. Concerned, not worried.
I would be.
Now, this Ben, I want Ben back by the 1st because that's the Bengals.
Because he's not going to be back by the 1st.
You get into the heart of the central schedule. Ben. 4-6. I'm going to go with 4.
All right. Probably the same guy that's telling me today there's flowing water on Mars. All right.
Well, I heard that too. So there you are. Life on Mars, 4 to 6 weeks for Ben. I'm going with 4.
6 weeks.
It's a sprain.
And you're an expert on sprains?
I'm an expert on knee injuries now. I've been dealing with a knee injury for the last 3 months. I've become an expert on knee injuries.
I understand that.
I've been watching what surgeries do. I mean, I'm well aware of knee injuries right now.
Yes, you are.
I turned to Daniel yesterday and I said, "Hey, Daniel, you and Ben Roethlisberger have something in common." He goes, "Well, it's not playing quarterback." So you're right about that.
Yeah.
I said, "You both have a knee injury, really?"
Well, but you're right. That's why they signed Vic. You have to have experience. At least the game speed's not going to be any big deal to him. I'd be concerned if I was the Steelers trying to do this on a short week, though.
That worries me the most.
Because he's left-handed. He's a different style of guy. Moves better. Being left-handed, there are probably some throws that are more comfortable to him as opposed to what you would call for Roethlisberger. And you've got a secondary that is just substandard and going against a quarterback who is not substandard.
Fortunately, the Ravens have not played stellar. Last week was about, well, they played maybe 2.5 quarters really well of this year, and that was last week.
Look, okay, again, no dog in the hunt, so I can analyze this without my heart, okay? Okay, your front seven's good.
Yes.
Your secondary? No.
No. I'm not going to argue with you. I have it all season.
And, you know, that's the issue. You give him a little bit of time, he will shred you. In fact, outside of Brady, they haven't faced a good quarterback yet.
No.
The two wins that they have are against quarterbacks that are not in the top 15 in the NFL.
Kaepernick and Foles. You're absolutely right.
And then Brady, especially in the first half, was merciless the way he picked them apart. In fact, that game was only close cosmetically. It was not really close on the field.
But fortunately, the Ravens have played poorly as well.
Well, they don't have Suggs. Not having Suggs is huge. I mean, that is a huge thing. No Suggs. They're not. They scored 24 yesterday against Cincinnati.
But they gave up 37 to the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders are 2-1.
Yeah, no, I know, but 37 points is a lot of points. I mean, this could be a track meet on Thursday night.
Yeah, could be. I mean, you know, your secondary is really good.
Really bad, yes. Very bad, as a matter of fact.
I mean, on the play where it was incomplete, I noticed Mitchell running in late, waving his arms back and forth. That is the single most effective play he's had as a Steeler.
Now, he was begging for an incomplete pass there.
Yeah, but he had nothing to do with the play. That's
no, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. He was begging for an incomplete pass because he knew he was going to be in. He knew he got burned again.
Yeah. So
I don't mind Vic being in the game for, you know, 4 games. I'm fine with that, even 5. But I think the short week makes it tough for him and the receivers to get on the same page. He's not getting all the snaps all year long, obviously. Now he will. But unfortunately, he only has basically 2 days to work on it.
Yep.
I mean, if this would have happened in a regular week where he had the entire week and the game was on Sunday or Sunday night or even Monday.
Better shot.
Yeah, I'd feel better much shot. Better about it. But very, very concerned with a Thursday night game. Fortunately, it's not in Baltimore.
Is the field shorter in Baltimore or?
No, it's just playing in Baltimore. I don't know what the Steelers' record is in Baltimore, but I can't imagine it'd be much more than 500.
Charlie Batch's record's good there.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't know what his record is.
It's good in Baltimore. I mean, field shorter. Wider?
There used to be the time that the Baltimore radio network would complain that it was like a Steeler home game. There were so many fans there. They used to get mad at their own fan base. It was a riot.
Yes, and that has been an issue in Baltimore for a while because I remember for Father's Day 1 year, my boys got me tickets and the four of us went to Camden Yards to see a Red Sox-Orioles game. And I was like, well, this will be good. We're up in the upper deck, whatever. I mean, but, you know, this is, had to be, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe? And we went to the game. We sat in the upper deck, and we're sitting there with all Red Sox fans, like the entire upper deck, like all of it. And I said, wow, the Red Sox fans travel great. And they said, oh, yeah, down here, it's easy to get tickets. Or we just buy them. It's no problem. That's been a problem down there for a while. And believe me, the number of Penn State fans going to the Penn State-Maryland game at M&T Bank Stadium is going to be rather large contingent on October 24th.
Oh, yeah.
A large – Penn State travels well to begin with. Now you've opened up more seats. You know, Penn State fans will snap those up in no time. No time at all. Today, Charlie Wilmoth, MLBTradeRumors.com, talking about the pennant races. Cardinals and Pirates play tonight. The Pirates are three back. If they sweep the three-game series, they do go into first place because the Pirates do have the tiebreaker over the Cardinals. So a tie is as good as being in first alone. That's where they are in all this. But if the Cardinals win one out of three, the magic number falls from 4 to 2. If the Cardinals take 2 out of 3, it is over. They can clinch on your field. The Cardinals have not been pitching well lately. The Pirates send Jay Happ tonight against Lance Lynn. The Pirates wrapped Lance Lynn around pretty good the last time they faced him. Charlie Morton against Michael Wacha. And I'm not sure what they're doing for the third game. There's some talk that Jeff Locke was going to start. Now there's some talk that Gerrit Cole might start. I don't know. All I know is that last night, even though the Cubs salvaged the final game of the series, they salvaged the final game of the series with Jake Arrieta. Here's the issue with that. If the Pirates don't win the division, that's who you face in the playoff in Pittsburgh. It was very easy last night for the Pirates Radio Network to name their offensive player of the game. When Gregory Polanco has the only hit, you win. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Charlie Wilmoth from MLBTradeRumors.com will be joining us in the next half hour. Then Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune at 4:06 to talk Penn State football. We've been talking with about Ben Roethlisberger and about Kevin being really emotional about it.
Well, I did the numbers. I ran the numbers there during the break. The Steelers have won 8 of 16 at M&T Bank Stadium since M&T Bank Stadium opened up. The Ravens have won 8 of 19 at Heinz Field. So it's pretty close to down the middle. And you have opened it up by mentioning one particular game, which was the only time the Ravens have beaten the Steelers in the playoffs, and that was
where you and your ilk tried to convince the world that Josh Harris was the solution. Yes, I remember the game very, very well.
You make it sound like I said Josh Harris is the second coming. That's not what I meant. I said they would be just fine.
Well, guess what? Okay, as I pointed out during the week, I remember specifically, if you were going to be just fine with him, how come you never play him?
And we found out.
Yeah, no.
But again, this is why they went and made the move to get Vic and sign Vic. Because as we've talked about many times, there aren't many quarterbacks left.
Right. Well, because Bruce Gronkowski was hurt. If Gronkowski was hurt,
absolutely.
He would not have gotten to get Vic.
No. You're right. I mean, at this point, if Vic were to happen to get hurt, that's bad news. If Vic were to happen to get hurt, they might have to call Tommy Maddox out of retirement. Touchdown, Tommy.
I could see this now. Telling you, Landry Jones is going to be just fine.
No, you will never hear those words come out of my mouth. If Landry Jones comes into the game, I'm turning it off because it will only anger me, and the added stress is not good for my heart, so I'm not going to watch it.
You're kind of a bitter guy, aren't you?
I'm just realistic.
I mean, that's why you have a guy like Landry Jones.
No. He's just filling right now. He's just filling a roster spot, and I'm still trying to figure out how he got that spot.
I don't understand the attitude here.
Tebow, sign Tebow.
The league has the upper level quarterbacks in the league are really special, of which Roethlisberger's one. Roethlisberger, Brady, Rodgers. There's no question the upper level guys are really special. The middle guys, that next group of guys, Flacco, Dalton, Matt Ryan. I think Breeze has fallen to that level. Eli Manning's definitely in that level. Are really, really good. And you can win. Obviously, you can win Super Bowls with guys in that group. Breeze has won one. Manning's won two. But once you get past, I don't know, let's pick a number. 16? How about 16? Once you get past the first half, boy, it's like falling into a canyon. The level of quarterback play. Yeah, you see how much Mariota. Yeah, Luck would be among the elite guys too. Hey, Mariota's play okay. Winston's okay. And Kaepernick's fallen off a cliff. You see what Cleveland does. Cleveland. I mean, whether it's McCown or Manziel, it doesn't really matter. I mean, Stafford would be in that middle area, and Stafford should be at the point in his career where he's winning games like last night. Okay, next half hour, Charlie Wilmoth will talk about the baseball pennant races. Then Donnie Collins from Scranton, Scranton Times Tribune on Penn State football at 4:06. Kevin will then convince us that Michael Vick is the second coming of Aaron Rodgers in the final half hour.
I just hope he fills the void for 4 weeks.
Six.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Find out why. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Joined now by the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, good afternoon. Welcome back to game week.
It's good to be back, Steve. Good to be back in game week. The entire football world was functioning as normal, and we were sitting around.
All right. You weren't sitting around. You and I both know that. How did you handle the week, and was the timing right for the week to happen?
It was the right timing. We had a couple guys that needed some time away from physical work, and we did that with both C.J. Williams and R.J. Nitti. And what that did is it really gave us an opportunity to work with some of the other backs. We have a very talented freshman running back named Omar Garcia, who's really, just because of the depth we have at the position, his carries have been limited, but he's one of the faster people we have on the team, and he got some productive work during the week. And our third quarterback, Sinjin Erskine, really doesn't get many reps at all of Bucknell offense, and we gave him that opportunity during the week, and it helped us. We got ahead of our plans for VMI, and it helped us. We went Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of last week, and then Thursday evening our staff went on the road, and Friday and Saturday they went out to see recruits in a variety of different areas. And we practiced last night. We actually had a little bit more of physical practice than we normally would have on a Sunday. We went out with shells and did some first and second down work, and actually sprinkled in some third down work, and we'll go back to a regular Tuesday tomorrow, which will be first and second down. So we're ahead of the game in terms of planning, and it's good to be back in the routine that you get into as you plan for a game week. And it'll be on us quickly because we're traveling early Friday morning. We're actually going to practice at James Madison University, which is about a four-hour drive, and then finish the trip. It gets us in the hotel relatively early, which is good, so that we're not in the hotel at 11 o'clock in the evening. And this is the earliest game we'll play so far this year. It's a 1:30 game, which is progressing closer and closer to the 1 o'clock starts that I like, to be honest with you. I like noon starts. Get up and get going.
Right. I understand that completely. Joe, away from the building and away from the practice field, I know they have obviously serious classroom responsibilities. How much work do you hope for or expect from your players that they should do when they're away from the facility that's still in a football mode?
That's a real good question. We're fortunate that the system we have where we break down opponents, we have the ability to watch that in our offices, in our meeting rooms, but our players also have the ability to watch it in their dorm rooms. And it's a system we call Galaxy. It's a variation of DB Sport, which is what we use. And the Galaxy system, we can actually keep tabs on who's watching and when they're watching. And we encourage it. A lot of the guys do it on their own, which is good. And the more they can... First off, I think one of the biggest challenges is teaching them how to watch film. A lot of the guys come in here from high school and they just watch film. They're not really sure what they're watching or how to apply what they're watching. And as we teach them how to watch film, it really becomes a much more productive way to get mental repetitions. And because of our roster size and what we know about the way we practice physically, it's important that they get the production that they get out of the mental reps, and it leads to them having a better understanding of how the game plan's applied, and also, when you make that evolution to from the meeting room to the walkthrough to reps, it helps if they are students of the game and they embrace that. And a lot of guys come to us with some type of knowledge in that regard, but a lot of them come from high school programs where, you know, the coaches are coaching both ways. They don't have the video capability that we do. And it's good that our upperclassmen serve as role models for helping our younger guys learn how to watch film and how to effectively analyze what their responsibility is as they watch film. And it does become productive.
Joe, how do you handle the scout team guys, as an example? Because of numbers, do you feel comfortable that maybe a little bit later in the season you have them scrimmage each other to give you a feel for down the road? Or because of numbers, do you have to stay away from them?
In the past, we have done that, and ideally you'd like to, because you give them a chance to run your offense and your defense. We've moved away from that. What we do in a normal work week is we'll have what we call best look periods, where, let's say on a Tuesday, in a six-play block, the first offense will run against the second defense, and then we'll flip it. The first defense will run against the second offense, and the second offense, second defense are applying, really showing a look. And then we do two scout periods where the teams are separate from one another. It's the first offense and part second offense against the scout team defense, and the first defense, second team defense against the scout team offense. We like to do good on good work. It keeps them up to speed in terms of playing against faster competition. We do a lot of our walkthroughs with the scout team, and what that does is it helps get the scout team. They learn what they're supposed to be doing. And to be honest with you, a young man like Bobby Kasslander, right, when he was a sophomore, during preseason, we moved him from receiver to free safety. We had a need at free safety. We had some injuries. And early in the season, he came up to me and said, "Coach, I'd really like to be looked at as a wide receiver." I said, "Okay, we'll do that. We're going to move you right to the scout team." And he lit up the scout team. And that's what led to his role increasing as a wide receiver. And it's a story that you tell all the time. And it doesn't have to be Bobby Kasslander. It could be another guy that I watch the scout team in terms of watching the younger players, their effort, obviously, but also watching them fundamentally and how they execute right. What we're trying to teach them fundamentally. They have the advantage in that they're looking at look cards and there's arrows pointing, which becomes a disadvantage when you don't have the look card and we're calling our play. And most of us have spent some time on the scout team, and it's a very essential part of being effective. And the better your scout team is, the better your team is.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Joe, how do you like to handle Thursday, since that's the last really significant practice you'll have before playing a game? Do you like to full speed it, but keep the hitting, obviously?
Some people
tag and go, or do you slow it down? What do you like to do?
It's funny to you get that question, because Chip Kelly's done some interesting things. He has his walkthrough. And it's different in the pros. It's a day different, but
sure,
as it would apply to college, he has his walkthrough on Thursday, and he has a fast practice on Friday.
Right.
And that's the track mentality. When you win, it works, and it becomes a great philosophy. The way we do it is Thursday we go out in spiders.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Being able to practice full speed when you're in spiders is critical. Sometimes it's hard because the scout team slows down. And right. we've had some good practices on Thursday. We've had some average practices on Thursday, and we play very good on that Saturday, so you don't really know. But I like to keep it fast. We do go over our short yardage and goal line. And those are critical situations as it relates to the, you know, if short yardage, third or fourth and one, you've got to be able to convert goal line. When you're down there, you want to count by sevens. But then we do a third down period, then a period where we basically move the field, and this is offense and defense. We do a 20-play script where they move from come through the phases of the field, coming out to getting out into that free-hitting zone, the 40s to the 40s, back into the red zone, to the gold zone, to the green zone, then the gold zone. And then we do some kicking that we normally don't do during the week. We're punting from backed up, punting when there's no returner, where there's 11-man rush, take a safety out of a punt formation, kicking off after a safety, returning a kick after a safety. Then we go through our onsides and hands team that really don't get a lot of the reps, but they're also really critical parts of the game. And it's a practice where they'll break a sweat, but there's not a lot of physical contact in that practice. Right. Then Friday, what we do is purely a walkthrough, but it's a focused walkthrough that what we do with our younger players, they get an extra lift in on Friday. It's amazing the physiology of the 18 to 23-year-old. You can really gain strength as you move through the season. Mm-hmm. And they're there for our scout teams. Now, this weekend, because we're traveling, we won't be traveling with the scout team. We'll have to provide our own looks down at James Madison, but our players really understand the importance of walkthrough, and I think it's a tribute to our coaches because they keep them focused during the walkthroughs, where your communication has to be correct, your alignment has to be correct, and your footwork. And those are the hidden reps that you can't take physical reps, like when you and I played, or when Kevin and you and I played. You know, everything was physical. We would be out in full pads. The only time we weren't in full pads was the day before the game.
Right. There was no pass thud and there was no tag off.
Right. Correct.
Which is, that's not how we did it back then. Joe, finally for you, you've had a couple weeks for this. So what's the thumbnail that you have on VMI, a challenge that they bring to the table that is going to be a little bit different than what you've seen so far?
I think their quarterback is one of the better, in terms of deep ball throwers, that we've seen. And they have a receiver. I want to just make sure I get his name correct. They have a receiver that's exceptionally fast, and it'll be interesting to see how we match up with that speed. The receiver, I'll give you his name here in a second. Matthew Nicholson. He's a junior, 6'2", 180, very fast. Their quarterback, Al Cobb, he's a redshirt sophomore, 6'3", 190, good deep ball guy. Very similar to R.J. Nitti in that he's not going to run for a living, but he's also strong enough to make time for himself. From a defensive standpoint, and it seems like we're finding this week in and week out, they're a three down front. A lot of pressure, a lot more of the bear defense, and a lot of guys that we've played against. Some of the guys we've played against, this will be the third year, obviously, it's with a new coaching staff, but typical of the military academies, when you play them, these guys that go into football practice the best time of their day. And
you got that right. Yep.
These guys are people that are playing hard. They play downhill, which we do. So, you know, I like these physical games, and I know it's going to be a very physical game out there. It's unique in that this is the only game we'll play on grass. It's Bermuda grass, so it's like playing on a golf green. It'll be green because it hasn't frosted yet, but it'll be great to go down there. It's a unique trip for us, our longest trip, but the way we do it and the way our kids do it, especially this time of year, we'll get on the bus at 8:45. By 9 o'clock, they'll all be asleep, and this is the midterm time of year that we go through, and you can tell that they're sleep deprived. I'm not sure they're using their time that intelligently, but it's the 18 to 23 year old that we're dealing with, that we all were one time.
Yeah, which we all were at one time. As I've always said, youth is a disease, but there is a cure.
I don't want the cure.
Yeah, that's right. Joe, thanks so much. Best of luck,
Steve.
Saturday down there, and appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Kevin. Take care, man.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Susan joining us, head football coach at Bucknell. We're going to shift Charlie Wilmoth into the final half hour of the show. More in a moment. As Bucknell gets ready to play VMI, you'll hear it with Doug and Kevin on Eagle 107 Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. 1:30 will be the kickoff. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. We'll have Donnie Collins next half hour. And then we'll have Charlie Wilmoth final half hour. The Chiefs and Packers play tonight. I believe Kansas City is the only team to ever play at Lambeau to never lose. They are 3-0 up there, which is a totally irrelevant stat because probably not a single player on the team has ever played at Lambeau. I always love these. I'm telling you, they've never lost up there. Okay? They've played three times.
Lambeau.
I find that stuff to be absurd. But name the first ever opposing quarterback to ever win a playoff game at Lambeau.
I have no idea.
Your guy, Michael Vick.
Well, that's interesting.
No, it's just trivia. It doesn't really mean anything.
Wouldn't have been on my list of answers.
It has to, because he's your new guy.
4 weeks.
Sure, if the rides are open at Fantasyland, yeah, you can go there if you want.
4 weeks.
You can hope all you want, because right now you are while 2-1, you are out of the race right now.
He will say he will be out for the same number as you yell every time I hit a driver. 4.
Well, I thought you meant 18 games, because 18 holes, so we have to yell it every time. That's why you said that. I thought 18 is going to be out 18 games. And he said, it's whenever I hit my drive.
4.
I told Jack Ham that. I told he and Moeller that story.
Which one?
I can't believe the one about how you took the ball out over, what hole were we on? The 7th, 8th hole? Is it the 8th hole?
I think it was 7.
7th. Yeah, one that goes over the street.
We're headed toward 15.
It goes over Country Club Road.
Right.
And he hit the ball. It had to be out over.
Oh, it was definitely
five,
out over. It was definitely out
over
6.
5 or 4 or 6 something. And it just kept coming back. And you landed that thing 9 inches from the string for straightest drive.
And it was a long drive. It wasn't that I hit it short either. It was.
Oh,
I hit
no,
it well.
You killed it. You crushed it. It was great. They said, that can't be true. I said, it's true. I said, when is the straightest drive not straight?
That thing had more spin on it than a curveball.
Wow. 9 inches. And you know what really stinks is you didn't win.
I didn't win.
We thought for sure there's no way anybody hit it that far and that close. All of us thought that. I mean, even Drew thought that, and he was rooting against you.
Yeah. I can't tell you the last time I came close to winning any individual golfing contest.
That's because there is no prize for number of chutter victories.
It's a shame, too, because I'm deadly with that thing.
6 for 6 the last time out?
No, 4 of 6, including a birdie.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's not deadly.
You've seen my game. 4 of 6, that's deadly.
I can't argue that. All I know is that the other three people in the foursome find religion.